look, we're talking about loving higher, and as Pastor John went into great length last time in an introduction about living beyond normal, I want to remind you that beyond normal is also beyond comfortable. And beyond comfortable is also beyond what you can control sometimes. And giving yourself over to the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not just I did it at VBS. Or when I was at a camp. Or when I was like holding my brand new baby and I recognized that, wow, I'm a baby. And I need to be held. It's more than a one-time thing. It is this positional, practical thing, right? You're positional in Jesus Christ. You've given your life to him. You've submitted to him. You've understand the two immutable truths in this whole entire universe, right? There is a God, and I'm not him. And you've recognized that Jesus is. But you don't just say that once. You don't just confess that once. I think a lot of what you're talking about, even Darcy, is that it's a daily thing and he keeps coming after us. Yes. You know, you can't literally, you can hold somebody up or you can hold somebody captive and you can make them surrender, but nobody submits by force, truly. You've got to submit clearly and freely, and that's where it's called free will, right? And so I want to ask you in your free will, what are you doing that's different than others? Or as Jesus says it in today's passage, what more are you doing than others? How are you different than anybody else? That might seem like competition or comparison, and I'm not trying to. I think Jesus, and as he unpacks it for us, he's asking flat out, if you're committed to me, how do you look different than anybody else? And I think some of what Pastor John was talking about last week will just continually coming over. Are we who we say we are as Christ ones? Remember that whole thing? Christian, little Christ. Do we look like Jesus? And I'm not talking about whether he had flowing hair or whether he had olive skin or whether he was wearing a particular outfit. I'm talking about spirit and character. And he's talking about that as well. Well, today we're going to look at three things that I think are also universally applicable. And it's these three things: revenge, retaliation, and payback. What happens when somebody does you wrong? What happens when somebody says something about you? What happens when somebody accuses you? What happens when somebody takes something from you? How do you react? Let's go straight to the Sermon on the Mount. Longest recorded teaching of Jesus, and you know, constantly, we're not even 38 verses in today. We go 38 through 48, but we're not even 38 verses in, and we've got this constant teaching about giving up the rights to yourself. Over and over and over again. Why do you think God repeats his teaching so much? Because we don't listen. We don't listen. See, now, I love that word, listen, Ben, because, right, like, listening is different than hearing, right? Hearing, we can take it in. As a matter of fact, experts say you and I can hear about 600 words per minute. The fastest speaker can speak a little under 300 words per minute. That means you got room for hearing. But listening, that's slowing down. That's eye contact. That's checking out the nonverbals, right? The cues that come from not just tone of voice, but from, or just body language. So God repeats because we don't listen or we don't obey. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. But if anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And I have to stop right there. 2 weeks ago, Mother's Day, I talked about abuse. I do not believe that Jesus is this K confusing, contradicting teacher like we would understand. I don't believe that he says you should give yourself over to abuse. I will not talk a whole lot more about that today, but I'm telling you right now, I still believe that if you're being abused, not just oppressed, not just challenged, but if you're being physically abused, that needs to stop. I'm not telling you to go and kill your abuser. I'm not telling you to cancel your abuser. I'm telling you, you are allowed to get out of that. And you should. Jesus is talking about a lot of things in here, and he submitted himself, just as Pastor Zach talked about, he submitted himself to death, to murder. That's like the worst form of abuse, right? So all at once, there's something really challenging in his teaching right here. He talks about what's called the lex talionis, which is like the laws of retaliation. And he brings up this, you've heard it was said, because it was written in their language, and it was written in their law, and it was written in their culture, that if somebody did something wrong to you, they would have to pay for that. They wouldn't have to pay more than that. So if your eye was gouged out, an eye would be required. If your tooth was knocked out, your tooth would be knocked out. Now if your tooth is knocked out, you choke them to death. So it was retaliation that there wouldn't be like innocent people not being cared for, but there's also that you wouldn't get paid more than what had gone on. Road rage. Anybody hear of road rage before? Okay. Sadly, just recently, as a matter of fact, this week, a little girl got killed in a road rage incident. Whoever was driving her car cut off a driver. The driver of the car that got cut off ran these people off the road. A couple weeks ago, somebody shot into a car because they stopped too quickly and almost caused an accident, but didn't quite. That's just some severe examples of revenge and retaliation and payback. But I mean, think about yourself, whether it's driving, or whether it's in an argument with your spouse, or whether your sister or your brother got more of a cookie than you did. Gosh, one time I lent my shirt to my brother Jason without knowing it. Because you took it, that's why. All right. But how I found out that it had been borrowed is that there was a mustard stain on it. And I mean, I look at my dear brother Sam, and he's probably like, you don't take care of your clothes anyways. Why are you even worried about it? But legit, I saw mustard on there, and I just kind of saw red, not yellow, you know, and I was so mad. I yelled at my brother, don't ever touch my stuff again. I was writing him off over one of probably 50 shirts that I had. That's not fair. But it sure felt good for a minute, right? And he's much bigger than me and stronger than me and highly trained by the military now. But at that time, though he was bigger than me and stronger than me, I was older than him and had a little bit of advantage. And I crushed him, not physically, but just emotionally, over a mustard stain on a shirt. Yesterday I was eating and my precious granddaughter looked up at me and opened her mouth like, oh. And I went to give her some of what I was eating. And then she just turned away, and I just go, what? And then drop stuff in my lap. My first thought was, look at what you made me do. You guys, this is insidious. And Jesus is saying, look, there's laws for like people. And you've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, and when Jesus says, but I say to you, do you know what he's reminding you? What I say goes. You're my people, and what I say to you goes deeper. The but in there can also be considered and. You've heard this law? Well, and I say to you, turn the other cheek. Somebody's coming at you and puts you down, insults you. Somebody even in here, he says, slaps you. Rather than slap him or her back, turn the other cheek. Wow. As John said last week, this is the true intent. Jesus is taking it further. He's going beyond normal, but normal for us is a lot more acceptable. We don't just long for normal because of comfort zone. We long for normal because of control. But as Christians, we're saying, Jesus, you're in control. And who is this Jesus that's in control? Can we just look at him again? He's our God. He's our Savior. He's our example. But you know what you and I are often wanting to point out to everybody? We're not perfect. And he was. So, you know, he's perfect. Of course he's going to be amazing. He's perfect. Well, he's called us to be in him and to be like him. We're Christ ones, we're Christians, we're little Christ. So when he calls us his people, when he says we're his body, when he says you're my church, you're my bride, you're one with me, and I've given you my spirit. That's what the day of Pentecost was about. His spirit was given to his people before his spirit came on certain people at certain times for certain reasons. But at this point, 40 days after the resurrection, God's Spirit came to all of his people. And when you come to Christ, you are filled with his Spirit. And he will be reminding you what that means. Today is one of those days. Can you look with me to 1 Peter 2? I'm trying to memorize a little bit of 1 Peter 1, but 1 Peter 2 stood out to me as I was going through this message about who Jesus is and what's his example and how is he a Savior and King and all that. What did he do when he, bless you, what did he do when he was hurt? What did he do when he was taken advantage of? What did he do when he was wrongfully accused? What did he do when he was being murdered? Because he was the ultimate authority, and they didn't just put him on a mock trial, they killed him. Well, check this out in 1 Peter 2, 20 through 24. This is our example. This is what we get to be like and can by the power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you've heard Philippians 4, 13. Does anybody remember that off the top of their noggin? Want to just shout it out real quick? Philippians 4, 13. Yeah, thanks, Dave. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. This all things literally means all things. I can do the high and do really well in life, and I can do the low. I can be content because of who he is. I can accomplish so much more because of him than I can because of me or because of my upbringing or because of my job or because of my car or whatever. So watch what he says. Well, this is Peter, who witnessed Jesus, walked with Jesus, ate with Jesus, slept with Jesus, was around Jesus a ton, denied Jesus, and then was reinstated, and then was worried about, well, what's going to happen to that guy? If you tell me I'm going to die, what about him? And Jesus is like, it doesn't matter really what happens to him. What is that to you? He says, you follow me. And so Peter wrote this. For what credit is it if when you sin and you're beaten for it, you endure? He's like, look, if you did something wrong and you got punished for it and you hung in there and you didn't whip and you whine and you didn't give up, he goes, what credit is that to you? But if when you do good and you suffer for it, when you endure then, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. For to this you have been called, Christian, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. We just talked last week about the fact that everybody lies, but not Jesus. He didn't lie, and there was never sin found in him. And when he was reviled, he didn't revile in return. When he suffered, he didn't threaten, but he continued, this is it, entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, which is the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you and I have been healed. This is the example that we're following. When Jesus says, turn the other cheek, and when he says the rest of what we're going to read today, he's not telling you something he wasn't willing to do. First of all, just becoming a human, he had already did it. He already humbled himself. He entrusted himself to the one that sent him. He entrusted himself to the one that he was one with, that he would become like us, but then he also died. And so with that, let's go back to what this says. We'll go to verse 40. If anyone would sue you and take your tunic, let him have your cloak as well. You guys, we don't have tunics and cloaks. Maybe some of you have cloaks. And it, I mean, if I can just say honestly, cloak, if you have a cloak, wow. that's amazing. There is people, I mean, the freak show was present at Disney World. People dressed up in all kinds of just stuff. There were some cloaks, I'm not even gonna lie. We didn't get to go to Universal Studios. I'm sure there was cloaks aplenty there, right? I mean, but what Jesus is saying, if somebody wants your undershirt, which is what you wear underneath your coat, underneath your cloak, give them your cloak also. He would be saying to them, whether it's hyperbole or rhetoric or whatever, Jesus was saying, look, if somebody's suing you and they're trying to get after you and they take your drawers, give them the rest of what's covering you too. Homie, be naked. And that's just like, for us in America, nakedness is just kind of weird. In Europe and all that, it's kind of more accepted. But in the time of Jesus, nakedness was flat out shameful. And he's saying, don't worry about all your stuff. And he continues, listen to this. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. You've probably heard this teaching, so I won't belabor it, but they were occupied by Rome. Does anybody know what it means to have a country occupy your country? What does that mean exactly? There's no freedom. They're in charge. A Roman soldier would be carrying all kinds of gear. Let's say, for instance, Gordon, let's say you had a job where you had a shift where you had to be there. But you don't have a car. You're walking. And you're going to get there, but you're going to get there just in time. And this Roman soldier shows up with all of his gear, which is heavy, and he says, hey, whatever you're doing, stop and carry my gear for a mile. You couldn't say, oh man, I'd love to, but I've got to go to work. Or let's say the Greers, because you're in the front row and I pick on people in the front row. Let's say the Greers are getting ready to go to Sabbath, right? You're going to worship the Lord at the synagogue and it's all good. You guys are excited. You got your family with you. And your son gets, what's the right word? He gets voluntold that he's going to carry this for this soldier. And you go, no, 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 I'll do it. And he's like, I wasn't talking to you. I'm talking to your son. You're like, but we're going to church. I don't care. I'm a Roman soldier. It's the law. You got to carry this, or your son's got to carry this for a mile. Jesus is saying, yeah, you know what? That's a big deal, right? You get interrupted of your life. You could possibly lose your job or you don't get to go to church with your family because I'm telling you what to do, this Roman soldier who's occupying and they're in charge. And God's people are like, when is this going to stop? And Jesus doesn't say, when is it going to stop? He's saying, go an extra mile. Next time you're near Chevron, you see extra mile, thank the world for the example to remind us that Jesus says, go the extra mile. That first mile, you're told to do it. That second mile is on you. Your attitude, your heart, your humility, your meekness. You don't come at him with anger. You can't make me do this. Well, yeah, you can, that one mile, but as soon as the mile's done, just drop it and go. Jesus is like, go the extra mile. Go beyond what's being required of you. Give to the one who begs from you, and do not refuse the one who would borrow from you. Wow. How often do I fight this rather than live it out? Jesus is saying, you should have no property and even no honor worth defending compared to the opportunity to show how much you love God, trust God, and can even love others. This is a hard teaching. I believe the question for us at this point is, what do I value the most? My rights, my way, or showing off Jesus? Well, you show off Jesus by commanding and demanding your rights. Really? Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Paul says it in a different way in Corinthians. Not all things are beneficial, even if they're permissible. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. So what do you value the most? That's something that you have to come to grips with. Do you value your freedom as an American, and all of your freedoms have been being messed with, and pretty soon if you even want to travel, you may have to have a vaccination? Well, you can't vaccinate me. Or are you on the other side? How can anybody not be vaccinated? That's terrible. Well, choice is good until somebody chooses something you don't want. Rights are good until they use those rights to infringe upon yours. You see how sticky this one can get? Oh, wait, yeah, look around. You know, people leave families. People leave workplaces, people leave their places of worship every single week over their rights being infringed upon. I want to keep going here, so we'll go to 43 through 48. If what was being taught before felt beyond normal, watch this. Jesus says, you've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. By the way, Chris, will you help me with that code of Hammurabi? Close enough? How do you really say it?
I say
Hammurabi. Hammurabi, good. I mean, you're educated. I'm going to go with that. All right. That existed in that code. You actually won't find hate your enemy, even in the Old Testament. As a matter of fact, you'll find a little bit closer to what Jesus is teaching. But he said, you've heard this. You've heard love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who's in heaven. You get to be like your daddy. It's okay to defend yourself. When your motivation is hate to defend yourself, you're not being like your daddy. You and I, we should stand up. I mean, Micah 6:8, he's shown you what's good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly. So love justice. And also love mercy. And walk humbly with your God. That's good. Should you stand up for people? Jesus said, "Why did you strike me? What did I do wrong?" He actually stood up, but he didn't strike back. He asked. Paul did the same thing. He's like, "Look, I'm a Roman citizen, and you're going to beat me like this? That's against the law." But they also stood up for others that were oppressed. And they did that, and they did that well, but they didn't do it with hate. They did it with love for God and love for others, in that order. You want to be like God? You're going to love your enemies. Who is enemies of God? Everybody. How many people have fallen short of the glory of God in this room? You're like, "Oh, great, come to church to be encouraged," and you're calling us a bunch of sinners. My brother reminded me of something really cool. Every sinner has a future, and every saint has a past. You need Jesus, and so does everybody else around you. And it's okay to admit that. It's okay to say, "Look, man, you are opposed to me and you're against me. The best thing I can do for this whole situation is love you and pray for you." I'll keep going. "I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who's in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do you not even tax collectors do the same?" He's talking to this crowd where they're like, "Ooh, tax collectors, they're evil. They can't do nothing. They actually love their people, though." But he's like, "How different are you from the people you think are so evil and so wrong if you're just doing the easy thing? You love those who love you back. And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others?" There's the question, and that's what I'm looking at today. What more are you and I doing than others? How are we different as Christians than the world? Because we look so much like the world. And I don't just mean what we own, but I mean what owns us. How often are you able to open your hands with your anger and your fear and your frustration and your things? Jesus is saying effectively in here, "You all, because of my power, should be naked pacifists." And we're like, "Whoa, that's terrible." Well, he's saying, give up the rights to yourself. I did it. You can too. And this is how he finishes it. "You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Well, nobody's perfect. Jesus says, you get to be. This word doesn't mean without sin for us. God is without sin. But he's calling us to be whole, to be mature, to be more like our heavenly Father. And you didn't earn that. Jesus paid for it. So your church isn't your standard. Your government isn't your standard. Your mama isn't your standard. Your best friend isn't your standard. God is your standard. If we're supposed to exceed the righteousness of even the Pharisees, then we're going to need God to be the one that gives us the strength to do that. And he does. He gives us himself, and as himself as an example. God's calling for wholeness, fullness. He's calling for perfection. You and I are complete and perfected and with Jesus forever as we are in him. Those who are in Christ, nothing, it says in Romans 8, can separate us from his love. But we have to live it out here. And we are getting opportunities to do so. So I have a question for you. what am I going to do with this message? Not just what am I going to do, but I ask you to ask yourself, what are you going to do with this message? What are you going to do with Jesus saying, turn the other cheek, walk the extra mile, give up stuff instead of hang on to it, love your enemies and pray for them, give yourself over, be like God. In a few weeks, we'll get to what I'm going to read to you, but I'll give you a quick snapshot. It's Matthew 6, 33, and we just sang it, basically. Jesus says, don't worry about all the things that you want and all the things that you need, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We're called to love higher. Maybe God is calling you to forgive somebody. Maybe God is calling you to maybe not exact revenge from the people that hurt you. Maybe instead, you go to them and you tell them, I don't know what was going on. Maybe you ask them, what caused all this? Maybe you fully know what you did wrong and you hurt somebody. Maybe you need to go ask for forgiveness and humble yourself. Maybe if somebody's on the corner flying a sign saying, need food for money, or need money for food, maybe you give to them. Maybe like my grandma, you're like, no problem, here's some money. For me, I'm like, grandma, they're gonna go smoke that or drink that. She's like, whatever they do with it is up to them. They needed money. Ugh. So maybe you go get some food for them. Maybe it's like this guy that was at Dick's Drive-In and he said, hey, sir, do you have any money? I'm like, look, I'm going to go in and get some food. If I have anything left over, I'll bring it to you. He goes, oh, okay. So I made sure that I had enough to be able to get him a burger and some fries and a pop. I don't know what kind of shake he wanted. I don't know if he could. Maybe he's lactose intolerant. I don't want to screw a guy up, right? So I'm like, okay. So I bring it out to him. He goes, oh, man, that's so great. Thank you so much. He goes, but do you have any change? I'm like, hey, man, this is what I'm going to do with my money is make sure that you have something to eat. And he goes, you don't have any change? And I said like this, and I thought I was really clever, and it's probably why I'm sharing it right now. I reached in my pocket, and I'm like, oh, yeah, Jesus Christ will change your life. Huh. All right. He had the same response, Sean, the same response. But you guys, if we're going to be like God and we're going to love higher, what we're going to do with this message is we're going to seek Jesus first and we're going to be like him. And we're going to say, have your way in me. And he's going to give you opportunities to do that. And I pray that we take him up. There's questions for you. I hope that you'll go after these. The last thing that I ask people to do in these questions is pray for your enemies. And some people are like, I don't know if I really have enemies. Okay, then I put this in parentheses, or those you struggle to love. Pray for those people and look for ways to love them higher. Father, we ask for that. We ask for that for the people that we consider our enemies in government, the people we consider our enemies in our household, the people we consider difficult to love who we're married to at times. We want to know how to love them higher. God, may we love them with the motivation of honoring you, not necessarily changing them. Although that would be great and we want to see that. But may our motivation be to honor you and to glorify you and to make you known. God, I pray that for all of us. I pray that for me. Pray that for me with my insurance company. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Be strong and courageous. Let it be contagious. Don't keep it to yourself.